Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Wesley and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, are you done with all your Christmas choral singing?
Yes. Church. Church as yet. We're doing our Christmas program here a week or so.
What is that going to involve?
It's a choral, a lot of choir, a lot of singing, choir singing, you know.
No play?
There will be actors in roles, yes.
They don't have any lines?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen the whole thing. I've just been practicing the choral music. It's not a drama as in musical or something that was put together as a, you know, drama. This is just something that has been pieced together very nicely.
Ed, you ever been in a Christmas cantata as a vocalist?
No, I've moved chairs, set up chairs for one, but I can't sing. I have a terrible.
You know what?
Singing
That's good.
Voice.
You have good self awareness.
Yes,
you know
I'm not
going
to be one
know.
Of those people who goes to America's Got Talent or whatever,
right.
And says everyone tells me I have a great voice, so I'm trying out. So, by the way, can I just update the story we were talking about before the break? On the Trump trading cards.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So I got some additional information.
I call them superhero cards.
Superhero cards. Yeah. So the I was wondering whether somebody, one of our listeners, might buy me a set. But they've already sold out. They sold out within 12 hours. And people who purchased the cards would be entered into a drawing to meet the former president at a dinner. So
okay.
It wasn't everybody who bought it.
To be eligible for the drawing, you got to pay about roughly $5,000?
Yeah, it's close to $5,000.
For the cards?
For the 47, and they've sold out. So,
but is this also include the indictments? I mean,
the suit card?
The mugshot suit?
Yes.
He said he's going to cut up his...
The suit he wore
the day he had his mugshot in Georgia and sell off pieces.
Yes, so those were... You could only get those if you bought the 47 card.
Brilliant marketing.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to update. I know there was someone out there who said, you know what? I love Ed.
Right.
I'm gonna buy him a set, for $5,000. Right. Somebody was probably going to do that. So I was going to let you know you're off the hook because they're all sold.
How do you cut up a suit? Yeah. For Steve.
Scissors.
Yeah, that's it.
Somebody, they probably.
I got telling me news. Milani, honey, I need you to cut up my.
Right, maybe. I don't know, but I've got some good news for you, Ed.
Yeah?
I'm thinking of running for dog catcher, and I might cut up one of my shirts, and I will only charge $4,000 for the complete set, and I will promise that anybody who takes me up on that will get fine dining at McDonald's with me. So,
all right.
I don't think anybody... is going to take you up.
You don't know my shirts, though. I mean, your dad is famous because of these
Steve
shirts.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
No one knows.
You are.
They don't call
famous.
Him Paisley for without a reason.
Listen, I'm serious about this. There are people who show up here to do the tour.
Yeah.
Okay, and to see our new facilities, and they will say, "I want to meet Steve Paisley Jordahl."
Right. There you go.
So that is part of his name now.
Yeah. It is. And you know what? If your boss says something like that, you just lean into it.
Yep.
What's the point of fighting?
There you go. All right, Steve, what's your first story?
All right. Folks, I want to just let you know about something that you, in this time of year, you're going to hear the bells of the Salvation Army ringing every store you go to, and they want money for you to help them feed the poor, and they do a lot of good things over the year. But I want to tell you this, because... this year, along with coins this Christmas, the Salvation Army wants its white donors to offer a sincere apology for their racism.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I said, what?
The Salvation Army has, and I looked this up.
Stop.
Okay.
Are you, is this some kind of joke?
No. I had to look it up on Snopes because it looked like a joke to me, too.
All right, tell
it's
us,
real.
What's the story now?
The Salvation Army
right.
leadership created what they call an International Social Justice Commission, and a pamphlet called Let's Talk About Racism. It asserts that Christianity is institutionally racist. Quote, many have come to believe that we live in a post-racial society, but racism is very real for our brothers and sisters who are, this is what our brothers, black brothers and sisters go through. They are refused jobs and housing, they're denied basic rights, and they're brutalized and oppressed simply because of the color of their skin. So there's an urgent need for Christians to evaluate racist attitudes and practice in light of our faith. And by the way, the subtle nature of racism is such that people who are not consciously racist, read that Christians, easily function with the privileges, empowerment, and benefits of the dominant ethnicity, thus unintentionally perpetuating injustice.
Now, let me read this report.
Yeah.
I kind of find this hard to believe.
I know.
They started this a couple of years back. This is not.
Who did?
Salvation Army? Going toward wokeness.
Yeah, they have done some things like that. The Salvation Army, Army's Alexandria-based leadership has created an International Social Justice Commission. Are you looking this up, Ed?
Back me up. Yeah, look it up on Snopes.
Okay. This is 2 years old, this story, and I'm looking at the Salvation Army website.
It's true, but it still persists.
They are saying, and we want to be fair, says that some individuals and groups have recently attempted to mislabel our organization to serve their own agendas. They have claimed that we believe our donors should apologize for their skin color, that the Salvation Army believes America is an inherently racist society and that we have abandoned our Christian faith for one ideology or another. Those claims are simply false, and they distort the very goal of our work. So we will follow up. Let's double check that, Steve, and see if they are continuing.
Yeah, we don't want to.
We want to make sure
the Salvation Army, if that's not true,
right? So this says the Salvation Army occasionally publishes internal study guides on various complex topics to help foster positive conversation. So check and see, Steve, if this is something that's ongoing. Even if it's internal, it would be of concern. They have done some woke stuff.
I saw this on several news sites, and I looked it up on Snopes, which is fairly accurate in what it says. So they say it's real.
Let's follow
Here's
up.
Here's a moral lesson we can learn from this, though. When you're in line at a store, and a convenience store, and there's people behind you, and the lady goes, do you want to leave your cents, the remaining, round off your cents to give to, and they fill in the blank, and you feel that weight of you don't want to say no to whatever charities in front of you because you got people behind you.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and consciously prepare yourself that you're saying no, unless you have the opportunity to look up and verify that they are a good,
legit charity,
and a good charity to give to as a Christian, because they will guilt you there with people behind you in preparation. And so we want to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I always tell them no in those cases.
Me too.
Because I
don't know. You don't know anything about the situation.
Anyway, we will follow up on that.
I will.
Find out
next
what's
story.
Happening.
All right. This is a little bit of breaking news today. I know you guys talked about the Supreme Court taking up the case of the January 6th case. Excuse me. They have also decided today to hear a case on access to the abortion pill and its approval process. The Biden administration wants to send them by mail willy-nilly to everybody. A lower court, when being sued over this, ruled that it would cut off access to the drug through the mail and impose some other restrictions, so that the Supreme Court has accepted that case. So we look forward maybe to some good ruling there. So 2020, listed as the most secure election in the history of elections. Don't you dare say that somebody cheated. So I don't know what we do with the Rasmussen Reports poll and Heartland Institute that finds out that 21% of voters who voted by absentee or mail-in ballot in the 2020 election say they filled out a ballot in part or in full on behalf of a friend or family member, knowing or unknowing. They cheated. They broke the law. 1 in 5 mail-in voters admit they cheated in 2020.
So you can't say it was – I'm just going to take us off a rabbit trail here. You can't say that they that it was
off
cheating.
The rabbit trail or on the rabbit
trail? On the rabbit trail.
We're about to get on
it. Get on one. Okay. But you can say – can you say that it was rigged or no?
I can say that they – well, if no. I yeah, no. I can say that it, they cheated. To say something is rigged means it was a grand conspiracy that someone manipulated and
like
said, we're going to do this and do this. Like,
and we don't know
like COVID.
We don't know for which party these absentee ballots.
Actually, equal. Okay. About 20% Democrat, 20% Republican, and 20%
independent.
Independent.
To me, what's important, a couple of things are important about this story, in my opinion. First is that there are too many absentee ballots being sent out.
Yep.
This was in part because of COVID,
yeah,
where they just sent them out in some states to everybody who's a registered voter. So there's too many because that would explain people's ignorance about how they're supposed to handle an absentee ballot.
Right.
Okay. And the second thing is that, and I forget what the second thing was, but it was really good.
It was good.
It was really good. Anyway, that to me, at the very least, that indicates that we need to tighten up our absentee ballot laws and regulations so that this kind of thing doesn't happen because right. Most people don't know. I wouldn't know if I had an elderly mother or somebody who came to me and said, I don't understand how to fill that out. Will you help me fill it out? I would probably do it. And apparently that would be illegal.
No, if they do it, if they sign it, these are people that not only said it's not illegal. Oh. If someone says, "Can you help me fill this ballot out?" and they, okay, you know, I could do that with my wife,
they
or my
signed
daughter,
it
or my
for
son.
The-
but if they do it, they did it knowingly of the person or unknowing of the person, and they signed the back of the.
Signed
forged
the person's
signature,
name.
Signature
okay,
on the back
that,
of the
that
envelope.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because yeah, we can. Talk to your wife about how to vote, or husband, or kids.
Oh, I do. My wife says, that's all right. I'll make my own decision.
Yeah, does she?
Yeah.
I'm not voting for you.
Is that biblical?
Well, we gave the franchise in 2012.
Actually, my wife does say, I'm confused with all the who these people. She does say, who do you recommend that I vote for? I'm just, most of the time, if I mention my wife on this show, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Mm-hmm. So. On a serious side, though, folks, if you do want to know something about candidates, we have a resource for you.
iVoter Guide.
You can go and you can get fairly detailed information on candidates all the way up and down the ballot. So,
who's offering superhero cards?
That
which candidates are
that would be covered there. That would be covered there. I'll tell you what. The mainstream media is a little afraid that Donald Trump might make a reappearance in the White House. I got to tell you, their Trump derangement syndrome is on full display.
Now, this is real.
This is real. He's likely, we've been saying, and the polls indicate he's likely to get the Republican nomination. Other things between now and the election notwithstanding, if he's accused or if he's convicted of a felony, that throws the whole thing up in the air. But as of right now, the mainstream media thinks he has a chance, and they are losing their collective heads. Listen to Cut 12.
He cannot be the next president.
Canada will become annexed to America.
And shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah, that means he can shoot the First Lady.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Führer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
To rewrite the Constitution.
Create mass internment camps.
Might be sent to jail, or their rights might be suppressed. Especially minority groups in society.
Assassinate generals.
Ordering troops to attack American citizens.
Trump's very well-armed and extremist base will try to kill people.
Let me say this about that. It's ridiculous, a lot of these claims, and they're so far out there, they're laughable.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. There is a big segment of the American public that does believe. They do. I'm not saying they're right.
Right.
I don't believe President Trump's going to be a rewrite the Constitution. Yeah. He can't do that or anything like that. But they do fear him being authoritative. And, you know, like the other day, he said, I want to be dictator for a day. Now, I think he was kind of half joking around when that he was responding to Sean Hannity, but the a lot of people in the in this country, and on, especially on the left, they don't distinguish between Trump joking around and Trump being serious. Okay, so when he says things like that, so while that I laugh at what you just played because it's so right. outlandish and ridiculous. A lot of Americans do believe that when he gets in office, if he were elected president, he would absolutely what he says. I'm going to be your retribution.
Well, right? Here's
that he's that he's going to start figuratively chopping off heads, so to speak. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Go ahead.
This is what he didn't do in his first term and wished that he had, which is we've talked about the weaponization of the DOJ, of the FBI. He's going to go in there, he says, and clean house. And not just the top leadership, but going down into the ranks, anybody who has been.
Well, he first got to say he's going to fire Christopher Wray. Has he said that?
I haven't.
Because the other day he said he didn't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard him.
He's the director of the FBI.
Right.
But I mean, I think he wants to get rid of the swamp. I don't think he understood quite how powerful or how deep that was in 2016 when he said he was going to do that, but he didn't. But he's coming back with a vengeance if he's reelected.
Well, to Tim's point, it is amazing that there are a lot. These are talking heads who get paid.
I heard Hillary
to give
Clinton
political commentary.
Hillary Clinton and Liz Cheney, were in there among other the other.
They actually believe this.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they believe it. I mean, I'm just saying to us, it sounds ridiculous.
Right.
And we laugh it off, but there's a big segment of the American public, not right. just these media folks, that do believe that.
Yeah.
But then there's also it's probably as many people who say, "Well, good. I hope he does. I hope he does chop off heads." You know what I'm saying?
You mean literally?
No. Okay. I'm talking about figuratively. Yeah. I'm talking about like what Steve's talking about. Drain the swamp or whatever. But then there are people who say, well, why didn't you drain the swamp the first time?
Right.
I think what Steve said is true. I think once he got in there, he realized, then again, he may have just didn't keep his word as it comes to that. However, regardless whether he didn't keep his word on draining the swamp to the degree that we want, that we would like to see, or whether he didn't realize how difficult it was and it was harder than he thought. Either way, now that this turned against him, the DOJ and the politics,
right.
Now you're going to see him being a little bit you can see him being a little bit more detailed in his approach to doing that. Now, obviously, the FBI director would be the first name you would want him.
I'm just saying, as of like 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago, maybe it's 2 months ago, I saw an interview with President Trump. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody interviewing him, and they said, will you fire Christopher Wray, the FBI director? And he said, I don't know. That I'm paraphrasing, but he said, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, why don't we, if you're going to drain the swamp,
start there.
Plus, to Wesley's point, at least part of the equation here, when he was elected in 2016, President Trump probably did find out that it is a lot more difficult to drain the swamp than you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you got to define what the swamp is, too.
I'm not even sure. A lot of these public sector workers in Washington, D.C. are probably part of some kind of union.
Yeah.
And there are probably laws on the books and regulations on firing people without cause. I don't think you just take a government worker and say, hey, listen, you know, you voted for Biden, you're out. I'm not sure you can do that.
I don't think you can. But here's the thing. For the longest time, everybody would say, you know, the leadership of the FBI and the DOJ is just they're rotten to the core. They're biased. They're weaponizing everything. But normal rank and file person sitting at the desk is fine. But you know what? The normal rank and file person sitting at the desk in the FBI was hired out of Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and Virginia and a very, very blue and very anti-Trump states. That's where they get their people. And a lot of the people are very biased. And it's not that they voted for the man. But if they did something in the course of their job.
Well, listen, Trump went through three attorney generals. He fired James Comey. Then he fired Jeff Sessions. And then William Barr, basically, he fired him. He resigned. He went through three FBI directors and Comey was FBI director. He wasn't AG. Right. My apologies there. Anyway, he fired Jeff Sessions, and then he fired then he had William Barr. But now he and William Barr, are on the outs. So I don't know. I don't know how that would work. I don't know who President Trump would get, assuming he escapes the and it defies the courtroom cases against him. The 91.
Yeah.
If he can Houdini that one.
Yep.
Then I don't know how he would determine who to hire and who not to hire for his staff.
Yeah, he has in this second round of running or third round running for president, he has lost a lot of friends that we would that would be friends of ours, and so it will hurt him long term in the event that he is elected to have friends like us because of the distancing that he has done verbally to people in our camp, such as Kayleigh McEnally and others. And so, to your point, he's going to get somebody, but it may not be someone like a Jeff Sessions or like a William Barr, who otherwise we would consider like-minded and we would have a lot.
William
more
Barr was a great attorney general, in my opinion.
Jeff Sessions
we quoted him often. Yeah. We commended him. Absolutely. He served President Trump well.
Did. Yep.
President Trump trusted him and hired him. Mm-hmm. So, they had a great relationship, at least a good one, a working relationship, till the very end.
That's right.
And then Barr said there's not enough evidence to support overturning the election. And that's when Trump said, get out of my face. Basically, that's what happened right there in that situation. So, anyway, we'll see. It's going to be, like we've said, it's going to be a roller coaster ride.
Yes, it is.
For the next, 10 months or whenever we got the presidential election?
11 months. Now we're looking at 11 months till the election.
Yep.
And folks, and if you like politics, enjoy your Christmas vacation and New Year's Day. But on January 2nd, buckle up because it is going to be wild.
Well, another thing is President Trump has got these two federal court cases he's going to have to deal with, January 6th one,
mm-hmm.
and the documents case in Florida,
right,
where he defied his federal subpoena. Those are cases where he has to physically sit in court for all that.
Right.
Well, he was in court for the New York property.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be.
No.
He has to be. You have to sit in a courtroom during a federal trial, especially if you're on the year to the... So, to me, I'm going to get on Trump 1 and go for exile somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not doing it.
If he were president.
I'm not. Oh. If I'm Trump, I'm not going to sit in a courtroom for 6 months.
Well, you have to.
I'm fleeing.
Well, they timed it.
He going on the lam.
I'm fleeing. Catch me if you can. Huh?
Frank Abagnale.
He's got props.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.